can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and today the two films we're talking about deal sort of with nostalgia, but not in the nostalgia for a certain era, but rather more the nostalgia for a specific time in certain people's lives. So the first film is Uncle Drew, and I did not know this going into the film. It was just a film and there were people in it and that was all it was to me. But Uncle Drew is evidently based off of, I believe, their Pepsi commercials that Kyrie Irving made in this sort of character of Uncle Drew, where he's essentially an old man, but he plays basketball really well and he can totally like school everybody else on the court. Those were evidently a big hit. A lot of people liked them. And so the idea came of, let's make a movie out of that. Because that works so well. Like, there are actually a number of movies where they were originally based off of, you know, a sketch comedy, I want to say skit, but specific characters, like pretty much all the Saturday Night Live films are sort of like this, where it was based off of a character that worked for, you know, a short sketch on Saturday Night Live every now and again. But then people decided, oh, let's make that into a full feature-length movie. And save for the Blues Brothers, I don't know that any of those really work too well. So that's not necessarily the best idea. Things that can work for a period of, you know, anywhere from 30 seconds to about 8 minutes do not necessarily work for 90 plus minute films. But anyways, this film was made. And in this film, Lil Rel Howery plays a character who loves basketball, grew up pretty much idolizing Michael Jordan, played as a kid, but then he messed up during a championship game during his middle or early high school years, and since then has not played anymore, but does coach and has basically put himself into major debt in order to get his team into the Rucker, which is this outdoor basketball championship. Something along the lines. I'm not a big sports person, so I'm not quite sure of the terminology there. He has what he thinks is a star player and the rest of his team, but he really only cares about his star player. But then his star player and the whole rest of the team that he doesn't care too much about are stolen from him by his, I guess this would be his arch enemy or his rival or something. Mookie, who is just multiple levels of, I have no idea what you're doing, but please stop. He's also his, I guess she's his girlfriend, played by Tiffany Haddish, also joins on Mookie's team because she's not a player, but she did sort of help out a bit financially because Lil Rel Howery's character didn't really have any money. He worked at Foot Locker and then got fired. So she's comes off not quite as a gold digger, but she, when they're talking about it, when they're still dating, there's $100,000 prize for this championship and she wants that money to buy a Tesla among other things. And when we see her later, she's shopping a lot. So she's not a gold digger, but she clearly cares more about material things than anything else. So when the team goes over to Mookie, she also goes over to Mookie. So he's really down on his luck, and someone suggests that he should meet Uncle Drew, who used to be this great basketball star and was considered like the greatest outdoor basketball player ever. And there's actually some interviews at the beginning with basketball people playing essentially themselves. I don't really recognize anybody's name except for Steve Nash because I'm not into basketball. But they're essentially Steve Nash. So in the little caption, it says Steve Nash. It's almost like an interview you'd see on a ESPN documentary. They're talking about Uncle Drew as if he was a great person. He and his team were fantastic, and they were supposed to go to the Rucker. But then the night before, they fell apart for some reason. There's a hint that it might have been because of a girl, and the team simply didn't show up and then was never heard from again. So when he's told to go find Uncle Drew, he's like, okay, whatever. He happens to be sitting watching a basketball game and sees this old man not trash talking the young people, but essentially saying they don't play the game like it's meant to be played. And he, like everyone else, thinks, oh, what are you, no old man? You can't do anything. And then the old man, who is, of course, Uncle Drew, shows them up in a very good way. Like, even I was impressed. And again, I don't care about sports. So he's like, oh, man, that was amazing. Will you help me? Will you be on my team so that we can win the Rucker? And Uncle Drew agrees, so long as it can be his team, his roster. He gets to choose the players. So, of course, this means we go see essentially other old basketball players. And if you've seen the trailers, you would know this, because he's like, how is this a team? Like, that guy's napping. That guy's essentially legally blind. Like, these are a bunch of old geriatrics. They can't possibly win this basketball championship. But that's where we go. So there's a feeling a bit in this movie of, like, You Got Served meets the Blues Brothers, except this film's not as good as either of those. And that's saying something, because I will fully admit that You Got Served is not a great film, but it's also kind of nostalgic for me. So I've seen it a number of times, even though I will definitely, there are parts I will skip because I'm just like, nope, I cannot watch you trying to do that. Okay, let's get on to the dance scenes. Move on. So the first part where, you know, his team gets stolen out from under him in a sort of really douchey move, excuse my language, that feels very You Got Served. But then the rest of the film feels very much like the Blues Brothers. I think at one point there is actually a mention of, we're putting, if not putting the band back together, we're putting the gang back together. They essentially say that almost verbatim. And you do go and see these different characters in their different settings. That feels in the same way of when we were collecting the different members of the Blues Brothers band, of, oh, this person, you know, is working at a lounge, and this person's working at a restaurant, and this person's working at a different restaurant. There's that sort of thing. So the first person we go to collect is Preacher, who is played by Chris Webber. And his wife is played by Lisa Leslie. And this felt very much like the scene from the Blues Brothers involving McIntyre Murphy and Aretha Franklin. Because she, his wife, Betty Lou, played by Lisa Leslie, doesn't want him to go off and do this basketball game. I'm not quite sure why exactly, but you do get that whole thing of, you know, oh, he's married to me and he's not doing this basketball stuff anymore and he won't go. And then you get a couple of scenes throughout the film of her sort of trying to chase them down so that I guess he can't play the game. That's where it sort of varies. I was like, yeah, that was, I'm not quite sure why she's continually chasing them. And mind you, this is through several states because the basketball game is in New York, but Chris Webber's character, I believe, is in Washington. And then I think they go to somewhere in the South to collect a different player. So they're going all over and she's following them essentially all over to try and stop him from playing this game. So it starts to get very quickly just sort of, yeah, this is not, I mean, it's not meant to be, you know, realistic, but it also for me just wasn't that funny. And I knew going into it that I probably wouldn't find it that funny because I saw the trailers and it didn't really look that funny to me. It looked more stupid than anything else. And I think this film only works for either certain people of a certain age or certain people with a certain type of humor. So I didn't find it this funny, but I went and saw it with my mother and my grandmother, and they laughed at a good number of parts. But I think part of that is because of the players, because they recognized the players and they sort of know who those players are. And so they've got ideas of, okay, that person's this way. So seeing them do whatever is a funny situation. I only recognize Chris Webber and Shaquille O'Neal. So I don't have that same sense of, oh, isn't it funny to see them do that? Because I just don't care about sports. Likewise, I just, the jokes in this film for me felt almost overdrawn. There are moments where you're very clearly supposed to laugh that I just was like, no. I think I chuckled maybe 4 times throughout the entire film, and not even like a full laugh, just like a and then move on. And I think I only actually like laughed out loud once, and that's with a line Chris Webber has when they actually get to the Rucker game about where he's from. I actually thought that was pretty funny, but beyond that I was just like, is this film over? Oh, we're still going. Oh, okay. Oh, we're still going. We already know you're going to win and everyone's going to resolve their issue. Can we just go? Like, I really wanted to move on with the film. It felt just slow, and there were too many jokes about, you know, oh, these players are old, so old people and all that. Like, there is one that's actually kind of adorable where they pick up Chris Webber and they're like, okay, but we need to take a nap first, because of course old people need to take naps. And they take a nap for all of like 30 seconds and they're like, okay, we're good to go. And I'm like, okay, what? But okay. So Lil Rel's character, it's not exactly, you get the backstory and sort of the flashback of why he coaches but won't play anymore, but that feels very sort of ridiculous. Like, especially since he was idolizing Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan has, you know, that famous quote about how many times he messed up when, you know, it was on him to win the championship game and how many times he missed the shot or whatever. It's like, you did this once, you had one time when you messed up and you stopped playing forever. Like, you had never messed up in a game before that until this. Really? Just, there's a lot that's like the barest minimum of we actually developed these characters. For example, Mookie's character, it's at one point he has an interview and it seems his whole reason for continuously entering the Rucker is simply to beat Little Rel's character. And Little Rel's character's name is Dax, but he calls him Dix just to be annoying. It's like, so wait, your whole purpose in life is to relive this glory you had back when you were like 14 or whatever? Okay. I think they were relying a lot on like the jokes, but since the jokes didn't work for me, the lack of character development also didn't work for me, so it just felt very, I want to say shallow, but not shallow in that you only care about certain ways, but shallow in that we didn't really go deep into anything in this film. There's a conflict between the Uncle Drew character and Shaquille O'Neal's character, and all the basketball characters have nicknames, so that, save for Betty Lou, that's her real name, but the rest, we don't actually know their real names. So Chris Webber's character's name is Preacher. Shaquille O'Neal's character's name is Big Fella. There's also a character named Lights and a character named Boots. But when you get to the explanation of how they got these nicknames, because they're all sort of their basketball nicknames, it doesn't quite work, because you've got to remember these people, you know, disappeared about 50 years ago. And it's come up at one point that they haven't played basketball for like 35 years. It's like, so you would have gotten these nicknames back when you were like kids or teenagers. Why were you calling a kid Uncle Drew? He's not anybody's uncle. He's not Little Rel Howery's uncle. He's no character's uncle, as far as we can tell, in this film. And yet his nickname is Uncle Drew because what? So it's just, I would much rather have actually kind of had like more of the basketball players' backstories and the lives they lived in the past 50 years. You know, was Preacher all, because Chris Webber's name is Preacher and he is an actual preacher, Were you always a preacher? Were you a preacher 50 years ago? Why were you nicknamed preacher as a basketball person and then you actually became a preacher? Just what happened with Shaquille O'Neal? Because it's explained and it's resolved, because of course it is. But then when you think about, again, it's been 50 years since this, why do you still have a grudge? You clearly got over the grudge with one part of the party involved in that circumstance, which I won't spoil. But then you still have a grudge against Uncle Drew 50 years later because... what? So yeah, there was just, the script is not great. I didn't find the jokes that funny. Some people did. The audience I saw it with pretty much enjoyed it. I really kind of wonder why the people in this film decided to be in this film, why this film was made to begin with, who wrote this thinking it was funny. Just was not, it did not surpass the low expectations I already had of it. Sorry. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Our second film today is The World's End, and this is brought to you from the same team that brought you Shaun of the Dead, and it stars the same character, well, not the same characters, excuse me, the same actors, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Cesar Slow, Martin Freeman, and I've just forgotten her name, but I'm totally seeing her in Pride and Prejudice, who played Jane. I apologize. Totally just completely blanked. I can see your face, though. But in this, Simon Pegg plays Gary. And Gary was sort of the leader of this group of five friends who, in 1990, when they were finishing high school, attempted this thing called the Golden Mile, which is a pub crawl in their town where you go to the 12 pubs and get a beer, as pub crawls do, and then you end up at the final pub, The World's End, and if you finish it... I don't even know that you get like a plaque or anything, but it's supposed to be this great accomplishment. They unfortunately do not finish it. They get about three pubs shy of finishing it, and they've actually lost like two different people along the way who just, you know, were too drunk or whatever to carry on. A whole lot of events happened in that night, but they didn't finish. And now, years later, Gary wants to go back and finish the pub crawl. So he goes and he meets his various different friends who have all gone on and lived their lives. And it's hinted at least one of them has some sort of long-standing personal problem with Gary. And that is, of course, Nick Frost's character. But he somehow convinces all four of them to come with him to once again attempt the Golden Mile. It starts off as a regular sort of, oh, friends reuniting after a long time. And we're probably at some point going to resolve the issues between us, and then that'll be the film. But around the fourth pub, things start to change a bit, in that when they started this, they noticed that the town seemed a bit different, but they essentially thought it was just because the pubs had been taken over by a chain and had been, as they called it, starbucked. But then around the fourth pub, Gary has an encounter with someone in the bathroom, and it turns out, oh no, actually the people of this town might not be fully people and are robots brainwashed. It's this film sort of suffers from the same thing as Stepford Wives, where it's not clear, are they robots or are they brainwashed? Because you can like take off part of their limbs and they still work and there's this blue goo inside them. But then later when it's explained what's going on, it does seem like some of them were actually just sort of brainwashed. So yes, but no, what? It's not clear. But so anyways, they all discover, oh my gosh, all these people around us are robots. And there's this whole conversation about whether or not they're robots, because robot comes from the word robotnik, which means slave. And they're like, we're not slaves. So it's like, okay, the not robot robots, what do we call them? They essentially settle on blanks after some point. So they're trying to not get, I want to say eaten, but that's not even the case, get taken by the blanks, but they're not quite sure how to get out of town. And so decide for some reason to continue with the pub crawl because reasons. It's not clear why the four guys even showed up to do this pub crawl, because they all seem to kind of, if not dislike Gary, feel very exasperated by him, especially Nick Frost's character, who has some long-standing resentment towards him. But they do show up, and then when they discover that the town is robots, decide to continue the pub crawl, because that will supposedly make it seem like they don't know, even though they know, and they seem to know that the robots know they know, but whatever. Reasons, continue the pub crawl, let's go on. The dialogue in this film can be very fast at times and very witty, but it's also British, and the accents at times for me were hard to understand. So I really do want to go back and watch it again, just because I know there were some quips that were so quick that I missed them, because I'm like, what did you say? Wait, what? But the parts that I did catch were pretty funny. They're very up on the speed at times. There's one point where in the fourth pub in the bathroom, after they've discovered the robots, Martin Freeman's character, rather than saying what the cuss word, says WTF, WTF. And finally, Gary at one point is, what the cuss word does that mean? And another character comes out and is like, what the? And he's like, oh, and it's like, no, but he wasn't saying, but okay, moving on. Go on. Anyways, so it's fun. It's also just a little silly, but unlike Uncle Drew, where it was just stupid, it's the kind of silly you want to go on with. And again, this is the same team that brought you Shaun of the Dead. And if you've ever seen Shaun of the Dead, you know that that's based in a zombie apocalypse, and they decide the best way to survive the zombie apocalypse is by going to a pub and waiting it out, because that will work so well. Maybe there's some strange cultural British love of pubs that I just don't understand because I'm not British. I don't know. But it's sort of this, yeah, you guys are kind of ridiculous and or idiots, but you're also fun and funny, so I will just go with this. I wouldn't actually be in this situation with you, but I'm enjoying watching you go through it. The character, I'm going to call her Jane, played by Jane, I mean, because I still can't remember her name, Sam, is actually Martin Freeman's character's sister, and she has a strange, not quite love triangle going on with Gary and one of the other guys, Peter, where back when they tried to do this pub crawl the first time, she, it seems, sort of ended up with Gary, but was actually more interested in Peter, or Peter's definitely more interested in her, and Gary's just sort of a jerk, but still acts like she's interested in him. And so when she first meets up with them, she doesn't believe him when he tells her that there's this sort of robot whatever going on, because she thinks it's Gary just being a jerk. But then when she starts getting involved and realizes there are robots, you then start sort of getting the stories splitting off, where there's the story between her and Peter and them trying to realize, oh, you know, what we could have had. But then there's the story between Gary and Nick Frost's character, and Martin Freeman and the other character just feel sort of left off to the side. And not really, they disappear pretty quickly and then come back. But I really felt bad for Martin Freeman, partly because after Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, he was the one I recognized most. And yet he felt very much not in the film as much. And so I was like, but why your character? And I apologize. I've just realized Peter is not the character's name, but I can't remember his name either. Peter is the character besides Martin Freeman who doesn't show up as much. I do apologize for that. I just realized that. But anyways, so you do continue on with the different pubs and them trying to not be taken in by the robots. There are a couple of characters in the film who also are not robots, the blanks, as it were. And they're trying to find them to figure out what's happened to the town and why this is the case. But then you get the various different scenes of fighting the not robot robots at the different pubs, to the point that it's just like you go from funny action scene to funny scene to funny action scene to when they finally end up at the world's end, because again, for reasons, there's a whole talky scene with the entity or whatever that has brought the robots down. And it's explained that they do this from planet to planet, where they sort of take over the population. And according to them, they do it to make it better. And they've chosen the humans to be allowed in to this social experiment of, they don't think it's taking over planets. They think it's choosing the best and then making everyone else fit in with them so that we all achieve this higher level of living or whatever. But the way they explain it, there's a scene that's essentially three of the guys arguing with a bright light, but in the most typical, A, you're drunk, and B, you were idiots even before you were drunk, so you're even more idiotic now way. And yet somehow this works to fight the bright alien light or whatever. And I almost needed to rewind during that scene because I was laughing so loudly at parts. I was just like, I didn't even hear what you said. And since the whole thing here is we're arguing, we're not even fighting by the time we get to World's End. We're just having an argument with the bright light to try and not get taken over. I need to be listening to what you're saying, but you just said the most ridiculous thing, so I'm laughing too hard. Let's pause and take a breath and come back here. To the point, at one point, the guy's like, stop effing Starbucking us. Starbucking is now a verb, and I love that. This, I believe, is part of the Cornetto trilogy. I don't remember what the third film in this is. It's Shaun of the Dead and something else that I haven't seen, evidently, but I do want to see now, because I went into Shaun of the Dead not even wanting to see it. I didn't see it for several years because I don't like horror films. I don't like zombie films. And I had heard it was a comedy. I was like, yeah, but it still involves zombies. So I don't know that the comedy aspect of that will overcome my, oh my God, freaky zombies fear aspect. It totally did. I think Shaun of the Dead is quite funny, even though also there too, I sometimes have a problem understanding what they're saying. And it feels a little strange for me, but I want to put captions on, even though I speak English and this is a film in English, but it's British English as opposed to American English. So it's just like, what? This film, likewise, I also really found quite funny. I do also still want to put captions on it so I can understand it, but I would definitely want to watch it over again, like multiple times. Like if this came on TV and was one of those films that just, you know, keeps constantly getting played on TV, like, I don't know, I'll throw up Shawshank Redemption. This would be a film that even if I was just flipping through and I didn't know what I wanted to watch and I came upon it and I had already seen it like a dozen times, I would probably still just leave it on and watch it all the way through the end just because I thought it was so great and so enjoyable and so ridiculous at times. But definitely funny, well-written, good dialogue, good performances, I think, overall. Everyone plays their character pretty well, and the five guys are somewhat different. Gary especially is different from the rest of them, because whereas the other four guys seem to have sort of gone forward and gone on with their lives and grown up, Gary never really did, and you do get an explanation of that later in the film of why that's the case, but it does then make for them, you know, constantly being like, you're an idiot and we can't do that. And he always sort of overcomes their objections, because at one point the character says, you're never wrong. Even when you're wrong, you're never wrong, because you just don't allow yourself to be. And so it's very hard to argue with the guy who always has something to come back with. So I thought this was really funny. It's a great film, but if you're going to watch it, you maybe want captions just because the accent can be hard to understand at times. So that's a nostalgia I prefer much more so than Uncle Drew. And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.